Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Warp, the Watch and Recap podcast, a side project of Movies Mayhem Soap. I'm your host Chris, and yeah, hopefully we'll be back doing regular episodes of Movies Mayhem Soap pretty soon. But for this season on Warp, we're going to be doing Loki, the newest series of the MCU. And just like that, series is going to deal with a lot of messing around with time. I figured I would switch it up, and now I am recording the intro after we've actually done the entire episode. No specific reason why, except for me to warn you that I think my audio is a little bit low throughout the episode, so I'm sorry about that. I'm a little rusty. I'll try to be better next time. Yeah, I hope all of you have enjoyed the episode, and just a heads up, we always do spoilers for the MCU, the series, and the previous movies. Yeah, so if you're not caught up, maybe we could help catch you up, or you might want to just go ahead and do that before you listen in or watch this show. Anyways, so episode one of Loki is titled Glorious Purpose, and the synopsis is as follows. It says, after picking up the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame, Loki finds himself called before the Time Variance Authority, or the TVA, a Kafka-esque bureaucratic organization that exists outside of time and space. It's pretty good stuff, and we're going to go ahead and break down most of the episode for you. Well, all of it, but, you know, maybe not every single little detail. Yeah, I hope you guys, or hope you all... enjoy the show, and continue to listen in next week for episode 2. We'll be right back with our recap for this episode. Mitzi, so you finished the episode? I like
it says Captain America stuff.
Yeah, it said I had 7 minutes to go, but it was just like the ending credits, so credits, I'm here.
Man. Told you.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, better than like WandaVision and kept the Falcon and Winter Soldier always had like 10 minutes of credits.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, I was always like 10 minutes left. There's gonna be something really great's gonna happen, and then it's like credits, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
There was one thing at the end of the credits, but it wasn't anything like.
Oh yeah, no.
Important.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's just the little voice, right?
Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes. Yeah. Voiced by Tara Strong.
By who?
Tara Strong. She did one of the Powerpuff Girls. She did Rugrats. Oh. She's a pretty big voice actor.
Yeah, the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah, if you see a picture of her,
I don't know if that's right. I mean, if she does a lot of voiceover work, I don't know how familiar
she was also an actress, but anyway.
Oh, okay, like a real life.
Live action actress. There you go. Yeah.
All right, awesome. Cool. So let's get started on this episode. Episode one of Loki called Glorious Purpose. My writing's a little whack still. Some things never change. And So I forgot to do the intro. And we're back with our recap for episode one. And I'm joined as usual by Selena. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And Franco's here also.
How's it going?
I'm good. And joining us fashionably late is Mitzi. How's it going, Mitzi?
I'm doing good. Hi, everyone. No, I'm not that late. I was like 2 minutes late.
Oh, yeah. We hadn't even started yet.
Mitzi, you need to update your background to a Loki background.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah, actually, considering we're planning on starting at 8, you were like barely finishing the episode 2 minutes ago.
Way to call her out, Chris. Okay, cool. Wow.
Nah, that's fine.
It's because yesterday I was watching a movie with Pete Davidson. That was pretty good.
Pete Davidson. The Staten Island one, right?
No, some other one.
Oh,
I don't know what it was called.
Something adolescent, something.
Yeah, that one.
I don't know what it's called. I forgot the full title, but
something adolescent.
Starring Pete Davidson. Look it up, guys. Do you recommend it, Mitzi?
Yeah, I do. I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, cool.
Kind of reminded me it was super bad, just not as good.
I'm glad it was worth it since it was obviously your top priority instead of watching this episode. And we start with the scene from Avengers Endgame where they're doing the time heist and where we see they're at. It's from Endgame, but it's also from the first Avengers movie, where they've just defeated
Loki. They had to go back to 2012.
Exactly, in New York. They've just defeated Loki in the Avengers Tower, or Stark Tower, as it was back in that moment. And they take him down to the lobby. There's some confusion and stuff for everyone that missed Endgame. Tony Stark and Ant-Man are there. They're trying to get the Tesseract back from 2012, Tony Stark and Thor, and Loki he catches on to it. He notices everything that's weird that's going on. You know, he's the god of mischief. He's hip to some hijinks. And then the Tesseract lands by his feet. He grabs it and he vanishes. And yeah, that was in the movie Endgame. And then we cut to the Marvel logo, which turns like dark green, the same color as Loki's costume. And he lands somewhere. He kind of crash lands somewhere in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia, and it's a lot like the Tony Stark scene in Iron Man, where he first escapes from the cave. So I don't know if there's supposed to be some sort of parallel there, where it's going to be kind of like, well, this is Loki going on his big defining adventure now, and yeah, maybe I don't know. But right after that, he sees some citizens, I guess, of just kind of hanging out there in the desert. I'm not sure what they're doing, and he rushes on to stand onto a rock to do his intro. I guess kind of like if it was a stage or something, so he could look down on them. And it's the same intro that it's the same intro he does in Avengers when he first appears out of the portal. That Nick Fury's working on, and they don't understand him, and he's just kind of flustered by it, which is kind of cool.
They're like, "Who are you? What are you doing here?"
Yeah, they don't understand, and he's just kind of like, it's obviously this is whole prepared thing that he does when given the situation.
His little speeches.
Yeah, exactly. His big grand introduction. And then it's not even a big rock he stands on. It raises him like maybe like a foot off the ground. But it's pretty funny. And then a portal opens up and the Minutemen appear and they arrest them. They're like these people like in head to toe armor and black armor. And they appear and they arrest them for crimes against the timeline. And they're calling him a variant. And we'll find out more about that later. One of them, the head Minuteman is usually called a hunter, I guess. And this one is played by Wunmi Musaku, who was also in, I don't know if you guys saw Lovecraft Country. Oh, I like Missy's background there.
Oh.
That's better.
That's much better.
Good one, Luxie. Just finds the best background.
Yeah, it's a really good one. Very fitting. We'll get to that moment in a bit. I will describe the background, but she was in Lovecraft Country and another movie called His House on Netflix. I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
I saw a lot of promos for Lovecraft Country. I heard good things.
Yeah, and she's really good in both of them. I really recommend His House. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country. It was good, but I don't know. It was kind of not amazing. I don't know. Watch it. Yeah, why not? But
okay.
His House was definitely much better. So she's in it, and she smacks him with this baton, which is Mitzi's background. You see him kind of like the impact of it like ripples through
his face. It's going 1/16th of a second, so he's feeling all the pain in real time.
Yeah, he's going like all super slow, and she's still at normal speed. She puts a collar on him, and yeah, she says that he feels the pain through all that, which is pretty interesting. So right off the bat, you know that these Minutemen are can manipulate time or something like that. And then I was pretty blown away by this. She just picks up the Tesseract like nothing. Like the last person we saw hold it in their bare hand was the Red Skull, right? I think was the last one we saw. And he got zapped into space somewhere.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, that was in Captain America. That was in
No. It's just I thought the Tesseract was encapsing the space stone because you can touch the Tesseract. You can't touch the actual stone.
That's what I would have figured, too. But because of what happens to the Red Skull.
Yeah,
I imagine it's still pretty powerful despite being in its container. I don't know. But yeah, I was still pretty surprised. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, she just picks it up like nothing, which we do see a little bit more of later on in the episode. And they set a device in the sand to reset the timeline, and we don't really get to see exactly what this device does. It kind of just emits like this bluish purple light, and then we don't see what happens really to the rest of the scene. Does it erase that moment from that time, or does it make everyone forget? I don't know what it does yet.
Right. I was gonna say, you wonder if that thing they placed in the sand, if it's akin to the Men in Black mind warper.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. Like, how does it reset the scene? Does it just get rid of evidence that they were there? Like, maybe if they have footprints, it clears out the footprints, or does it erase the memory from the people that are around? Does it basically just erase that moment from the timeline? I don't know. Just deletes it.
Yeah,
kind of weird, but we do know. Well, I mean, we find out later on in the episode that this is that Val.
I think that was a dog. Topanga.
She obviously disagrees with my assessment of the TVA devices. But we see later on that someone, a variant that they're hunting, is going around collecting these devices. So I'm imagine whatever they do is pretty significant. Then the Minutemen take Loki through a portal to the TVA headquarters, and Loki, he tries to run, but the collar that they snapped on him kind of puts him in a loop, so he kind of just ends up, he keeps ending up back where he, or wherever they want him, right? And they get to, I guess it's a reception area, and they see Eugene Cordero, who's also on The Good Place. Yeah, The Good Place. As Pillboy, he's also an improv comic that I've heard a few times on different podcasts. He's a pretty funny dude. And Loki, he's also on that Tacoma FD show that's not very good, the one with the guys from Super Troopers.
I didn't know they did a show. That's funny.
Two of them are on it for sure. A few of the other guys I've seen appear on it, but it's not
okay.
It's not great.
It's not good. No. Okay.
Well, the episodes I've seen haven't been good. Loki is he's trying to be threatening, but nobody's really having it, and he pretty much just gets shoved into an elevator and disrobed by some smiling machine. And
hey, did you guys notice that Loki had a six pack?
Yes. It's like, dang, a semi-nude Loki.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, actually, he was supposed to be fully nude, but of course censored.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
That'll be my next background for next time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do that one. Oh, yeah. I love Tom Hiddleston with the Loki hair.
Alrighty.
Moving on.
Is that his real hair? I've always wondered. Is that
no, no. I think that is a wig.
All right. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So then are those his real six pack? Who can say for sure? But yeah, even in that moment, he kind of looks down surprised, like, oh shit, I'm ripped, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I like how he said that it was, what kind of leather? The leather of gods or something.
Yeah, the finest.
Oh, Asgard leather.
Asgardian leather, yeah. Yes. And then they just zap his clothes away.
Yep.
And then he ends up in some small room with this man that has a cat and a little cat mug also. And he basically has to sign it's a stack of everything he's ever said.
By the way, at this point, he's in scrubs, like really beige, right.
Yeah, a jumpsuit.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they put him in that. He's not just naked through the whole episode. Sorry, listeners. Yeah, they just drop him in. They drop him through a hole in the floor, and I guess it, like, they have the jumpsuit waiting under him, and he just falls into it and lands in this other room. Mm-hmm. And every time he says something, a new thing prints out. It's pretty, and then he just kind of he catches on to it.
Sign this, please.
Yeah, he catches, sign this, please. He catches on to it and just stops talking. Signs the thing, and then he is sent to another room where he's asked if he's a robot and has a soul, and he has to walk through a, I guess, kind of like a metal detector. And he is about to, and he's all like, "Wait, like, do a lot of people not know if they're robots?" And I think the guy's all like, "Yeah, sometimes." And he goes, "Well, what if I am a robot and I don't even know it?" And then the guy's like, "Well, the machine will melt you from the inside out." And he's mm-hmm. all like, "Oh, cool." And so he hesitantly walks through the machine, and it takes a picture of his aura, which I don't know. Did they actually show it? It's kind of, I think they show it before it, the picture develops, so we don't really know.
Isn't it like a I thought it was like a demon looking aura.
I think it was like a glow, but I don't think they spent a lot of time focusing on it, so I kind of wonder if that's gonna be come into play later on. Like to explain something. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. We'll see. We're already theorizing, right? And we all know that hasn't worked well in the past with these Disney Marvel shows.
We're right about some things, but anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. Just a few things. Not like anything we wanted to be right about, though, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So when he's apparently when he's talking about how some people are robots and they don't even know it, that's something from the comic books where they use life model decoys. Apparently they used it in that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. I think Agent Coulson at one point was an LMD. I'm not too familiar, but apparently it's something from the comics. They might have used it in the show. Maybe they'll do it here. Maybe they're setting that up. I don't know. Then, did anyone watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Can anyone verify that? Confirm? No?
Nope.
I'm getting a no.
Okay. Right, yeah, I saw very few episodes of that.
Yeah, me too. But it's, as far as I can tell now, it's not even canon anymore, right? I don't think.
I don't think so either.
Forget it, yeah. And then, so Loki is, he's sent to, like, a waiting room. There's like, a roped-off line area. And him and some other guy are being told to take a ticket. The first guy is refusing flat out. And Loki's even like, no, like, we're the only two people here. Why do I need a number? But eventually he does take one. The other guy doesn't. And so while they're in the waiting room, waiting in line, Loki sees a cartoon little exposition thing that has Miss Minutes, the character we were talking about earlier, voiced by Tara Strong. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she explains the time variance authority and, you know, what it's all about, how it was established. Apparently there was a vast multiversal war that almost resulted in the destruction of everything. And the timekeepers emerged and reorganized the multiverse into a single timeline called the Sacred Timeline. And they're just kind of there. They established the TVA in order to make sure that nothing deviates from the timeline to disrupt it. And from what I read or what I gathered online is that in the comic books, the timekeepers are actually created at the end of one timeline, and they go back in time to basically protect that time, the timeline that results in their creation. So that's why it's important, because without that timeline, they won't exist. So that's the one that they're like, this is the main one, you know.
So the timekeepers are those cool three or four guys, right? The one that they showed,
right?
It was three.
There's three of them.
We
only see them, yeah, in the cartoon and later on as a big I guess structure on the wall, but we don't actually see them per se. I don't know if we will, to be honest, because there's something that happens a little later that I thought was kind of weird. But in the little cartoon section, Ms. Minutes talks about a Nexus event, which we talked about in WandaVision, because
we did
one of the
oh, about the multiverse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And how Wanda is a Nexus being, meaning she's pretty much consistent throughout every multiverse. And the antidepressant medication ad that she dreams up or whatever is called Nexus. They had hinted at it over there in that show. Never really did it much with it, but, you know, maybe they will here. And so basically the TVA intervenes to correct the path from different variants. And the... So then when the cartoon stops, Loki looks over at the other guy who didn't take the ticket, and he's arguing with the guard for not having the ticket, and then he gets vaporized. And that's when Loki's just like searching his pockets all frantic and holds up his ticket.
Yeah.
He's all waving it around like, yep, I got mine. And then it cuts to
And then the credits, right? Mm-hmm.
It cuts to the title. I think it's pretty cool that all the letters are different, because it's hinting at the different variants of Loki. He's gonna run into different versions of himself through the multiverse, is my understanding. So every letter being different is crucial.
Representative of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of funny. I just thought it looked a little steampunkish, but maybe that's just also what I thought I saw from the trailers. We'll see.
Yeah, there might be a steampunk a version of him somewhere, multiverse. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And then, so after the opening credits, we cut to France in 1549, and there are several dead Minutemen in the, it looks like a church, and we have Owen Wilson there.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yep.
Making a grand comeback.
A gray-haired Owen Wilson.
Yes. Finally got a haircut. I hate that Owen Wilson has always had the same haircut in every movie, and now looking good, man.
Maybe he just took a bit break from his Wes Anderson days and was like, I gotta change it up a little.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Not even that, but he was with what was that? They were called the Frat Pack for a while. Him, Jack Black, Vince Vaughn.
Oh yeah. Luke Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. They were the Frat Pack, and so he was doing a bunch of those movies and just the same surfer haircut all the time. Looking good, man. I like this. I approve of this. he's growing up. I know he had some hard times before, but I'm glad things are going well for him.
Oh no, yeah, he's such a good comedic actor. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah, even in this one, like, he's not. I think supposed
it's
to be
more subtle.
Mm-hmm. It's very he's giving it a comedic weight, which I don't know if anyone else could have done it, because it's very quiet and subtle and. It's really good. I'm glad they did something useful.
They picked him.
Yeah, exactly. and he taught. They established from the scene that it looks like they were ambushed, and that the reset charge is gone. And they indicate that they're talking about it like this is the work of someone that they've been dealing with before. And because he says it's the knife wounds are consistent. I forgot what else they say, but it's basically, yeah, this is someone that they're aware of. And they see a child in the church, and they ask, you know, who did it. And she points at the there's like a big mural, a stained glass mural on the wall, and it has a devil image on it. And she points at it, and I'm sure everyone was just flipping out saying Mephisto again, because that was what was happening in WandaVision. Everyone was just, theorizing that Mephisto was going to show up. But no, this time it's not the deal. It was at this point, I don't know if that's true for the rest of you guys, that I kind of realized that it was going to be, because it has the horns, I figured it was Loki, because he wears that weird helmet.
I didn't think about it, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Did you think it was the devil for reals?
Yeah, probably.
Fantastic. Oh yeah, so spoiler for
some
the
demonic
episode.
Creature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they say isn't Mobius, Agent Mobius, which is Owen Wilson. He sees the kid, also has blue stained teeth, and I think he takes like I don't know if it's gum or some sort of candy from him. and it's called Kablooey.
Oh, Kablooey. Yeah.
Well, presumably he got it from the variant, the murderer. I don't know why. That might, we might learn why he's giving out candy or whatever, or why this specific
or
candy.
Why Kablooey?
Yeah, why it has a significance. Yeah. But he takes it. They want to study it for, I think, some sort of energy signature or something. And another agent steps through the portal and shows Mobius that Loki has been apprehended. The Loki we know and love. And so he heads back to the TVA headquarters. And in a hearing, Loki is brought before Ravona Renslayer, who is also a character from the comic book. She's played by, this is also, I'm going to mess this one up, also Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
God. Yeah. Let me look at the name. I want to see what you did.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Okay. You tried.
Gugu Gaga Rob.
What was it?
Gugu Gaga Rob.
No.
That was a good attempt, though.
Thank you.
Okay, you get a pass, Chris. Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah, let's see.
Gugu Mbatha Raw. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's her name.
Gugu Rama.
No. She's been in a few other things. Nothing really big, though. Cloverfield Paradox, Beauty and the Beast. She was the little feather duster. The Wrinkle in Time, which I've never seen, and I know her first.
That was her.
How she was in it.
Oh, hang on, I might be confusing her with someone else. But anyway, mm-hmm.
And Belle, Belle was one that I had heard was really good, but I know that's, she's the lead in that one, but I never saw it. So yeah, she's definitely recognizable, but nothing really that I can say a lot of us would know her from.
She was in Concussion.
I never saw it.
Yeah. All right. So keep going.
Okay. And she's basically.
Is it only cutting off for me?
I'm not cutting off. No. Everyone's good?
Yeah.
We're good. You're right, Mitzi?
Let me get off on my Wi-Fi.
Thumbs down. Okay. And she asks him if he pleads. You know, how he pleads in violation of the time crimes. And he says he pleads not guilty. And he blames the Avengers because he figured out this whole time heist thing. And he was saying, they're the ones fucking with the timeline. They should, you know, they should be brought in here and I'll help you get them. Like, send me out with a team. And she basically says that, no, the Avengers were supposed to do what they did. That's all according to plan. It's all good. And that's when he... says, like, according to whose plan, and she says the timekeepers, and he says, let me talk to these timekeepers, and she's all like, no, they're busy. And I don't know, something about that kind of made me suspicious that we might not see the timekeepers. Maybe they don't even exist. Maybe they're just some, I don't know, some kind of fabled beings who are really just you know kind of like,
what is that called when something's like a front?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to
for yeah.
Like the Wizard of Oz is basically the
biggest, yes, the most... kind of similar to that.
Yeah,
that's paying no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know there's a term for it, but I can't think of what it is.
Listeners, if anybody is anybody knows what we're talking about, write in. Right to one of us.
Yeah.
Continue.
Michael, they don't have it in any of your school books there? They don't teach that as part of the curriculum?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going for smoke and mirrors, but right. Or like a puppet master thing. I don't know if those are the terms.
Yeah.
Something in the neighborhood of that.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
So that's definitely, that's something I'm theorizing right now, is that maybe they're just kind of a front. But so then he asks her like what her role is, and she's all like, no, she says they're busy dictating the flow of time. And then she says, well Loki says, well, what do you do then? And she says, well, I enforce the rules according to their dictations or something like that. And so basically, yeah, she's not gonna let Loki see them. So Loki tries to make himself disappear, but his magic won't work, and they're all just kind of shaking their heads at him. And
Oh,
Mitzi's back with us. How are you doing, Mitzi? So far, so good.
Good. Sorry, my phone was freezing up, but I'm back. Right.
Nice. Ravonna Renslayer, I'll just call her Renslayer. She orders him to be reset, and he's kind of freaking out because he doesn't know what it means. And he
does. Neither do I.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I said, we haven't seen what the reset charges do, so maybe it is bad. Maybe that guy in the waiting room who got vaporized, maybe that's being reset. I don't know. And
oh, I thought it was more like he would be completely wiped of his memory.
Maybe. I don't know, but it's something I guess that we'll discover.
We don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They haven't fully explained it. They just know that it's something that exists there. But Mobius, mm-hmm. he approaches the bench, and they have like a friendly banter, him and Renslayer. Kind of seems like they know each other on a very personal level. And she goes ahead and lets him take custody of Loki. And they're walking around. They look out at the cityscape, and Loki seems very impressed and sort of intimidated by his new surroundings. Because he doesn't know exactly what's going on, and he knows his magic doesn't work there. And so what is this? Oh, I wrote down a quick note that I guess I didn't really look into it too much, but apparently in the comic books, Mobius is not one person. He's kind of like a bunch of there's several Agent Mobiuses, and they're all the ones that run the TVA, I think was my understanding of it.
Okay.
Yeah, like he is the only face of the TVA, because there's so many of him, like a clone or something. I don't know. That's like I said, I just kind of breezed over that, and maybe that will have something to do with the story, or maybe they just used him just because. Then he takes Loki into a viewing room. And Loki tries to attack him, but they do the loop collar thing and has him sit back in his seat. And he tells Loki that he's in pursuit of a dangerous variant. And Loki asks, he tells him that. And then so he starts kind of trying to break down Loki and just kind of asks him like what his plans are upon being returned to the timeline. And it's kind of beating around the bush, but yeah, Loki's just basically saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna rule all these people." It's kind of weird because Mobius already knows what happens to him, so I don't really know why he's It seems pointless that he's asking him, right? But later on, we find out that he's trying to understand Loki better because of who they're hunting. They're hunting someone that. Oh yeah, I think I already spoiled it, right, with the whole Mephisto thing. They're hunting Loki. A different version of Loki, so he's trying to understand the psychology of this Loki, I think, to better understand what the motives of the other Loki, the one they're hunting. And it's they basically establish that it's in his nature to lose. And Mobius asks Loki if he enjoys hurting people, and he kind of doesn't really answer it right there. But Mobius comments that Loki is great at escapes, and then they watch a clip of Loki as DB Cooper on the plane.
Oh yeah,
I think
Tom Hiddleston looks in real life.
Yeah, I think he's blonde, but yeah, he's got the short, slick back hair. Right?
No, it's his hair. His natural hair color is kind of like a medium dark brown, and that's how, with the goatee and everything, that's how he looked in that scene.
I don't think he had a goatee.
I thought he did.
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't.
But that was his like natural hair and everything, okay. I think, in that scene.
Gotcha. And those abs, were those natural abs also?
Yes.
Just kidding. We don't get
those. Those are super natural.
Super natural. They're almost godly, you would say.
If we do a Google search and it comes up enough different times, I'm sure those are his abs.
Oh, yeah. Because Photoshop is never consistent, right? Like, you can't make anything look identical from one picture to the next. Damn technology. When will we get there?
Keep hating.
But anyways, I was kind of disappointed. Well, no, I like that scene where they established that he's D.B. Cooper, but I didn't like it because I thought the whole that was setting up the premise of the show was that he was going to be going back through different times in history and kind of just changing the events or like making the history that we now know. So seeing that this was just some random little side adventure, I don't know. It was just kind of like, oh, well, I thought this was going to play like a kind of a bigger part in the story. It was kind of weird, but I mean, still pretty cool that they did that, but a little weird.
I think it'll come up again, you know, in the next episode. It might be another, like, maybe a little short segment where he went and altered history.
Maybe. I know there's, I saw a clip where I guess he's running around in Pompeii during the eruption of the volcano. I don't know if he's necessarily responsible for the eruption, but, you know, it'd be fun just to see him doing all these, you know, historical events and stuff. Right. Yeah, he says that he did it because he lost a bet to Thor, which was also kind of weird because it's like, what was the bet? Like, did Thor just say,
yeah,
hey, go get some beer money or something? I don't know.
It's a really weird bet.
Yeah, like, what was the end goal? Was he just like, I bet you can't hijack a plane? I don't know. What was that discussion? I don't know. I think that
it's
very odd. But then Loki's getting very frustrated and during the interview with Mobius, and he should we just describe who D.B. Cooper was for listeners?
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
I'm not too familiar with it. It was from when I was a little kid.
It's kind of funny too, because that scene is a little different from how I remember the story. Mm-hmm. Hey, don't kill me. I went to Wiki and read the little quick three sentence summary. Mm-hmm. It is different from how I remember it, but basically on that summary, it kind of does match what happened in this show.
So what you're saying is the way you remember it is wrong, and the way the show did it is right.
The way the show did it? The way the show did it is more accurate. Yeah, yes,
because the way you worded it before, it sounded like you were saying that the show did it a little bit differently.
Yeah, well, that's what I was like confused by. That's why I was like, whoever knows the story better should probably tell it.
Mitzi's background has improved for the better.
Hello, and I'm kidding.
Hiddleston abs. That's a from that movie High Rise, I think. That's a pretty good movie. It's a weird movie, but it's pretty good. I recommend it.
Yeah, I could have heard of it. Six pack, but this is what came out.
He's in this other movie. I think it's called Only Lovers Left, where he plays a vampire, and he pretty much looks like he pretty much looks like Loki in the movie though, with like the long black hair and everything. Cool. Anyway,
never saw it. But describe what you read on Wikipedia. About D.B. Cooper.
In like a four-sentence summary, listeners, D.B. Cooper is used to describe an unidentified man who hijacked a Boeing 727 aircraft in the U.S. airspace between Portland and Seattle on the afternoon of November 24th, 1971. After a stop at Seattle Tacoma Airport to collect $200,000 in ransom, which is equivalent to $1.28 million today, and four parachutes, he leapt to an uncertain fate over southwestern Washington. And despite an extensive manhunt and 45-year FBI investigation, we do not know the identity and fate of this guy.
Nice. I never knew
that.
Sorry, go ahead. I never knew that D.B. Cooper wasn't his real name.
Good. I was about to say, too, I wonder how they gave him that name, but anyway. Yeah, no, and see, I had remembered that, or the way I had remembered it, it was a guy who, I don't know if it was through guns or explosives, was able to, get money and get off the plane, and he got away with it, and nobody ever knew who he was.
Yeah, close enough, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the man purchased his airline ticket using the alias Dan Cooper, but because of a miscommunication became known in a popular lore as D.B. Cooper.
Nice. All right.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Dun dun.
So that's Loki, it turns out.
Yeah.
And so then during his questioning with Agent Mobius, he's getting very frustrated until Mobius shows him that he's responsible for Frigga's death. Frigga is his mother. And that was in Thor the Dark World. The Dark Elves are infiltrating Asgard, and Loki sends them thinking that they're going to go run into Thor, but instead they run into his mother, and she won't give up Thor, so they kill her. I don't remember if Loki knows in the real timeline, the sacred timeline, that was his fault, but he learns it here, and he thinks it's a trick. He's telling them to bring them to her, bring her to him, and things are getting heated. Loki throws the chair at Mobius, and then Mobius does the loop thing, but since he threw the chair, Loki ends up on the floor instead of being seated, and then he tells Loki that he was born to cause pain, suffering, and death, so that others can achieve their best versions. And then Mobius helps Loki up off the floor, and that's a crucial moment because that gets Loki close enough to, we later find out, pull the remote out of Mobius' pocket. The remote for the collar. And Hunter B-15, who's the same Hunter from earlier, she comes in and says that there's a situation, and they go ahead and they leave Loki in the room. And she tells Mobius that there is another unit of Minutemen was attacked. And Mobius goes back and he sees that Loki is gone, and he realizes that the remote for the collar is also gone. And then they start to search for Loki, and Mobius establishes that they needed to take him alive. No resets, no they call it something else when they vaporize him. I forgot to write it down, but they have another term for it. And then so Loki, he's running around, and he finds Casey, who's Eugene Cordero from earlier, and he demands to get the Tesseract back. And, you know, he's threatening Casey, but Casey doesn't understand the threats. He even just says, like,
"I don't know what a fish is."
Yeah, exactly. He says, "I'm going to gut you like a fish," and Casey has no idea what a fish is. Kind of further establishing that this world is probably not on Earth, or doesn't live by rules of Earth or whatever, because the magic doesn't work there.
Yeah.
And oh shit, where did I leave off? So yeah, it's a pretty funny exchange, and he kind of has to dumb it down. He's all like, "I'm gonna kill you," basically, and Casey's just like, "Oh, okay, well, whatever." So he pulls out like a drawer where the Tesseract is. they have this huge weapon, and it's just in a drawer, along with a bunch of Infinity Stones. And Loki is amazed by it.
And they're paperweights.
Yeah, Casey says that they're just all over the place, and people just use them as paperweights. So it's not even just like one of each. They have several of each stone.
That's what I was going to say. How is that possible? Multiverse?
I guess just any time someone took a stone that didn't not deserve it, but it was unplanned, I guess. They just went ahead and just confiscated it, I guess. Speaking of which, there's a part earlier in the scene where everyone, online at least, they keep saying that they're pretty sure they see Peggy Carter in the background being escorted by one of the Minutemen. I don't know if that's...
No.
That's what everyone keeps saying. Like, online.
Now I need to go back and watch that scene.
Yeah, I doubt if it's going to play into the show at any point, but maybe she did
something. Maybe that was just a funny Easter egg.
Maybe. Maybe her just being involved with Steve Rogers. She's just like, "We're going to take Peggy until you put back all these stones."
Oh, yeah.
And then he does have to go put back the stones and restore the timeline. I don't know. But that's just something that I've been seeing a lot online. Because, yeah, I don't think Peggy Carter herself would do something, but I'm sure something that happened around her would influence the timeline. Yeah, so Loki, he sees all the Infinity Stones, and he suddenly feels very insignificant. And, you know, he questions if the TVA is the greatest power in the universe. And that's when the Minutemen show up, and Loki resets the collar to zap himself back into the viewing room. And he watches Frigga's death again. He sees Odin's, I guess, transcendence from Ragnarok. And he sees moments of him bonding with Thor and fighting alongside him and just getting along with him. And then he sees his own death. And that is the end of the file. And he starts kind of laughing at the idea that he has some glorious purpose, which is how he always introduces himself, right? He says, "I, Loki of Asgard, arrive with glorious purpose," or something like that, right? And he's just kind of like, what glorious purpose, right? And so that's when Hunter B-15 shows up, and she tries to subdue him, but he somehow, with the remote, I guess, he deactivates the collar, so he's able to get it off, and he sticks it on her and puts her in a loop. And gets zapped out of the room, I guess, to an earlier moment. And she ends up seeing Casey, who tells her that Loki got away. Yeah, and back in the viewing room, Mobius confronts Loki, who says that Loki finally admits that he doesn't enjoy hurting people, that he has to because that's how he inspires fear and gains control. And he kind of seems resigned to the fact that he's a villain. And, you know, Mobius is like, well, I wouldn't go that far. And so he basically tells him that he has a chance to redeem himself by helping them catch the variant that's on the loose that's killing all the Minutemen. And Loki asks, well, why do you need my help? And that's when he tells him the variant is you. And that's would have been a bigger reveal if I hadn't mentioned it earlier. But yeah, there's I've been seeing some theories also that the variant that they might be hunting is played by a woman also, so we might see a female version of Loki.
Yeah,
with the same abs.
That dark cloaked figure in that scene I thought was a female.
Oh yeah, that's at the very end. Yeah, they don't show you. Yeah, yep. So they're kind of keeping it secret.
I'm jumping ahead a little.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So yeah, we cut to a scene in Oklahoma in 1858, which I think was a big where they struck oil or something. The Minutemen find a futuristic looking shovel in an oil field, and so they kind of I think that's kind of to make them think that it was just some random guy who decided to go back in time and discover oil instead of revealing who really lured them there, right? But yeah, I thought that was pretty weird that futuristic device is basically just a shovel. It's but whatever. Then the unseen variant wearing a cloak and in shadow, right? It sets them on fire and the whole field on fire. And as the Minutemen die, the variant goes and picks up the reset charge, and it cuts to credits. Pretty good stuff. What do you guys think overall?
Yeah, go ahead, you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Don't rush to be the first.
No, like I really liked the whole episode. Like there was a lot. There was a lot to kind of like take in and kind of like to be excited about.
Yeah.
I like the whole aesthetics of it. Like, to be quite honest with you, I like the whole look of it. I like how it's kind of like, I guess, like the technology looks very old, but it's very powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I've never seen that.
So I like that whole aesthetic of it. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like excited about the show. There's a lot of, I guess, kind of like questions about like the Lokis, I guess, like the variants. Because I mean, it's kind of like we said, is like, you know, like the one from I guess it's the sacred timeline, right? From like kind of like the original one,
right?
Like that's the Loki that kind of like died. So right. So I'm kind of curious as to how this one's gonna fit in now. I guess this new Loki that we have now in this timeline, and how the other ones, like how are the other ones able, or how were the other ones created? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. How the other variants came to be. So that's kind of what I'm excited about. And I know that we've seen in the previews that they all have their different styles. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So that's what I'm kind of like excited about it too.
Awesome. Mitzi, any thoughts?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a lot funnier than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And for Loki being such a evil guy, he was pretty funny.
It's pretty fun to see him get all flustered and stuff.
Yeah, I like my favorite part was like him just repeating that he's a god and stuff because he thought he was above them. And then in the end, when he was like, this is the, what did he say? This is the strongest person or this is the god. What did
I thought he was talking about the place. Like, this is the most powerful place, isn't it?
Yeah, like this is like when he sees he's all the stones, he's like, this is the most powerful place. Like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Pretty
cool. Selena?
Yeah. My opinion's a little negative. That's why I didn't want to go first. I liked it. I thought it was just okay.
You miss WandaVision, don't you?
you know what's so funny? When I talk about WandaVision and Captain America and Winter Soldier is just like, I really just like the first episode of WandaVision, but it built up. Captain America and Winter Soldier really started off strong. And I don't know, I just felt like with this one, to me, it didn't necessarily start off strong, but it wasn't bad. But I hope it does get better from here. And I think my only little complaint about it, and maybe it's just because, you know, they had to establish everything, is it felt like a bit of a bummer episode. You know, just you see him getting so depressed and whatnot, watching the film footage and, you know, seeing his mother die and all that. So it's just, what was I going to say? So yeah, that for me, like, it wasn't bad. I just hope the following episodes are better than this one.
Oh man. I don't know. I liked it. I didn't love it until the end. At the end was when I was like, oh shit, like some real interesting stuff's going to happen. But like, I'm kind of worried that it's going to be, because with time travel, things get really unnecessarily. Did you guys see Tenet? Tenet is so confusing, and I've seen
you it. Have to watch it a second time.
I've seen it three times.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what I'm hopeful about this show, that they're trying to set up this whole multiverse thing. And I know it's not going to be perfect, because I mean, who understands travel? I mean, come on. You know, but
I love stuff about time travel. I'm really fascinated by all that.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully, I mean, yeah. I mean, I know that there's things that there's like super obvious, like, I mean, there are two out there. I mean, even for time travel.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do with this show. Because I mean, that's how I felt the first episode, that they were trying to set up the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's kind of what I was explaining to another one of my friends, that I was just like, you know what? I think this is kind of what they're like. WandaVision was, because I know that they messed up the orders at one point because of the pandemic and stuff. And I was just kind of like, you know what? It was just like, I think this is one of those things, because I think it was supposed to be Falcon, right? The first one, and then WandaVision, and then it was Loki that was supposed to be. I think, I don't know, but
No, well, you know what's funny? Loki shot forever ago. Like, they filmed this a while ago. So yeah, it's interesting how everything rolled out the way it did. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's gonna be interesting, because I mean, and now even with Black Widow coming out, and I know that was supposed to come out like forever ago, too. So in terms of Phase 4, it's going to be kind of interesting how they're going to be plugging in everything now with these whole things, like the storyline. I guess it's going to be see how everything's going to be plugging in.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Chris. No, what's interesting too is I think the Eternals were supposed to come out sooner than they are. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what else got messed up because Eternals got pushed back. You know what I mean?
Right. What I was gonna say was just that maybe Loki filmed first because they needed to see how they could work everything around that, because from what I've read, it's gonna be more it's gonna affect more of a Phase 4 than the other two have, so they kind of have to see like what's gonna happen here, so that way we can just not interfere with what happens there, because like I said,
time travel
is real tricky.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I have a feeling like, so like with WandaVision, we started off with like this mystery that seemed real complicated at first, and as we went on, it kind of, you know, it simplified, it made more sense. And I have a feeling that this is gonna be the opposite. Like they're gonna be like, we're gonna start you off as simple as possible, and then we're just gonna get way more complicated as we go. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure some really, really cool stuff is gonna happen, but I know I'm also gonna just like drive myself crazy every week, just trying to be like, wait, what if this happened? Why did this happen? And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I think you learned on it.
And you know what? And one of those things that kind of, I don't know, and it might be nothing, but it caught my attention was when they were playing with the whole little loops. I guess when they were kind of like sending him back in, and with the whole collar thing. One of the things that they mentioned was when they sent Loki back, he said something like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like only the people go back. Like not the chair." When he fell on the floor. Mm-hmm. And it might be nothing, but it caught my attention. But I was just kind of like, oh, they might play with the idea that, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
That happened for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. That I was just like, it feels like they're setting up a bigger picture with this. But yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. You might be onto something.
Maybe.
And we totally lost Misty five minutes ago or so.
I thought she was going to rejoin, but it doesn't show her in the waiting room or anything.
Yeah, she told me her phone froze, but then she just asked me if we're still here, and then that was it.
All right. I don't know. Well, I mean, we can wrap it up. Well, something I wanted to bring up, kind of like what Franco was saying about how we don't know how this Loki's going to fit into the overall timeline. Like, yeah, are they going to send him back at the end of all this? Like, and if they do, you know, send him back and he gets to just live out the rest of the timeline, that kind of sucks because he knows he's going to die. And so would he, like, I don't know. I guess what's the motivation like going to be for him? Like,
or is he just going to stay in that time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What happens to him at the end of this?
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be something very interesting to see what they reveal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because they told him, right, that he's kind of like designed to kind of like always lose.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it reminded me of that other loser too. The new Captain America.
Oh.
He's always getting his ass kicked.
Yes.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone.
He'll win a fight.
Learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's better.
He'll get better.
He's Captain America. He's Captain America now. He's fine.
Yeah. Now he's better. He's better at fighting. But yeah, it'll be interesting. You're right. It'll be interesting to see how if he stays, how he fits in. And I mean, if he's going to, I guess, live on.
Do we know if he's going to be in the Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch multiverse thing? Or we don't know that?
I don't know yet. No.
Okay. I read somewhere that he wasn't, but I don't know. No, I think it was Thor. I don't know if it was Thor or one of the movies that he wasn't going to be in it.
The Thor, was it Rock of Thunder or Love of Thunder, something like that?
Something like that.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
So they might wait. I want to say they might wait for him to, I guess, for him to bring him back or something. I don't know.
They kill him.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard anything new about him. Maybe they're waiting until the end of this series to reveal like what happens next to him.
Yeah. Probably.
But yeah, overall I'm excited. It's good to be back doing this.
Right?
Yeah. And again, I want to thank you guys for doing this. Any shout outs before we go?
I gotta think of somebody because I haven't talked to George in forever. Man, I don't know if I want to keep it up. But for now, let's shout out to George.
There you go.
Shout out to George. Yeah. Hope he's doing
it's a tradition.
Well.
He's out there disrupting the timeline somewhere.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
I knew he was up to something.
Nope. He's the one. He caused them to shuffle around the Marvel schedule and everything. So that's been his biggest influence so far. But right. We'll see what else he gets up to.
Yeah.
You're funny.
Selena, what's up? What's going on? Your friends.
Shout out. Yeah, shout out to our listeners, and hopefully shout out to Claudia, who should be listening to this on Spotify. Hopefully. Yeah, shout out to everybody who's listening to us on good apps.
There you go. Anchor is trying to get us on other platforms right now. I didn't really look into how to get us on anything else, but
Looking into it.
We're looking into it through Anchor, but that's about it. But yes, I want to thank anyone who bothered to download an app to listen to this. And that's about it. Thank all you guys, even Mitzi, who dipped out early and came in late. And
that's phone acted up. Jeez. All right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening.